All right, I gotta do this part now.
We're glad you're here tonight, and I hope that you're
excited about our worship tonight. And I'm excited to get into our last goal that we have. We've been looking through our four goals. It's been a while. We've started months and months ago. I had a few in between that didn't really relate to our goals, but we're back. Last month we did goal number three, and this is goal number four today. So basically, our goal, and there's a poster right outside the board that has this on it. We may be out of order a little bit, but that's what happens when we're getting them on there. Our fourth goal, it's not on the screen for you, I'm sorry. David messed with mine after I took so long. He says, our fourth goal, though, says, I want to know, there it is, that was it, whatever, there you go, okay. We'll figure it out tonight. But it says, I want you to show the world what God looks like so they will come to Him. Simply put, share the word. Goal number four. We had this verse in Ephesians. We may be going back and forth. Here it is. Ephesians chapter 6. You can follow along maybe tonight if you don't look at that. Ephesians chapter 6, starting in verse 18, Paul says this. I hope you take what he says seriously. Because when we think about Paul, we think about a man who has it all together and a man who can do anything, and then he asks you to do this. Praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. Paul asks you to pray. But then he asks you to do this for him. Pray also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. We hear those words come out of Paul's mouth, a man who we think is a spiritual giant, wrote most 13 books in the New Testament. Now we have him asking us to pray that he would open his mouth and share the gospel. Pray that he would do it boldly, as he knows and closes this, as I ought to do. When Paul will say that, I hope you're listening tonight. And we looked at these four goals, the goal to be one, to participate in the work of the church, to know God's word and to know God, and tonight to share the word. Now, I think once you believe, if you look at those in order, in the way that they're presented, I hope that when you believe that you're part of a living organism, the church, the body, and you've started participating in the work of the body, you're actively searching to know God's word, then it's time to share the word with the world. You know, I think we serve a God who's one. We would agree on that. We serve a God, and he says he is working. Jesus says that about himself. My Father's working, and so am I. He's a God who's revealed his will and his commitment to us so that we will come to him and we will bring others to him. You know, if you haven't ever shared the gospel with someone, then you're missing something very important about God. God's not a selfish God. God freely invites all men to come to him. And he invites them without prejudice, without prejudgment, without condemnation. And he died for us, the Bible says, while we're still sinners, not before. He forgave us when we stood as his enemy. Not when we're perfect. And Paul writes, there's no condemnation in Christ. That's where he wants us to be, with him in these three things: forgiven, no longer condemned, and with him. And those three things cost God everything. God wants us to become like him in even his desire to share good news with other people. You know, if you've only accepted him and you've not shared him with anyone, then you've missed part of his covenant with us. We had
One of my favorite quotes from Jimmy Allen, he says, if you've accepted Christ and never intended to share him with anyone, then you've missed the whole point of Christianity. Man, is that true? I think we agree that he is alone Lord. And if he is, then we'll gladly do what he asks because we know it pleases him. And we know the transformative work that is done in our lives, and we want to see that done in others as well. Paul writes this, he says in Ephesians chapter 5, therefore be imitators of God as beloved children. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. He says, you go and do the same that I've been doing. Following means following. He says, walk here. You're going somewhere. Walk in the light as he is in the light, being led by the Spirit, the Bible says. Walk in step with the Spirit. Walk in love, drawing all men to the fragrant sacrifice of God. I don't know if it's a theme in my lessons, but I can't stop talking about food. And here it is again, because I think when you look at, first thing when I think of fragrant offering, I don't think of a candle. I think of what they had in the Old Testament with the sacrifices and the meat that was cooked. And I don't know about you, but I love to smell great cooking. And it draws you in, right? We have, unfortunately, and I mentioned this last time, if you go down there, please tell them I continue to talk about them, because the Wright's Barbecue, you could see the smoke all day long from the building. And I should walk there, but I don't. I drive. And it is delicious. If you haven't, I don't work for them, by the way, but it draws you in. I can't leave the building and think, man, I'm hungry. What am I going to eat? Well, of course I'm going to eat barbecue. It's right there. And this great aroma, doesn't it do that? Doesn't it draw you in? And this cooking, we're about to have the holidays. And you can just think of what your favorite holiday food coming up, all right? Thanksgiving and Christmas, and oh, it's about to happen. It's coming soon, and you're smelling it. Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. There's something very attractive about God, he says. When you get a taste, just even a small taste of who he is, you know he's good. And you want more of God. But we would expect that from God. It's God is the aroma that we want. He is the taste that we can't get out of our mouth. You know, when you feed, we love feeding Abby new things. She's eating anything we give her. And when you feed a baby something they've never had before, it's a lot of fun. You know, you always start with lemons because why not? They'll do it. But when they eat something that you know they're going to like this. It's chocolate or it's whatever it is. It's ice cream. Or you know this is what we all want. And you've never had it before. Wait till you try this. And you watch their face and their eyes light up and they're excited about it, right? And then they lick their lips and they are reaching for it. They're going to rip it out of your hands because they want more. And they've tasted and they know it's good. God enriches this idea. It's not just him that is good. It's also, he goes farther than that. But thanks be to God, who in Christ always leads us in a triumphal procession and through us spreads the fragrant offering of the knowledge of him everywhere. For we are the aroma of Christ to God, among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To one, a fragrance from death to death, and the other, a fragrance from life to life. Who is sufficient for these things? God doesn't just say, I'm good. He says, I'm going to make you a fragrant offering. And through you, I'm going to spread the knowledge of me everywhere. And he says, we are the aroma of Christ that draws other people in. We are. We attract people to God. We know God is attractive, but we have a harder time thinking of ourselves as attractive. But we are, because God says that. He says, this is a power that you hold. You are drawing people to Him. You are a fragrant offering. And your life, if you are serving God the way He's asked, is attracting other people to Him. And if you're not, we can also repel them far away from God. I want to take a moment in our lesson tonight. I want you to do something very a little strange and different. See if you're awake. I want you to do something called share the good. It's very simple. It doesn't take long. Just take 1 or 2 minutes tops. I want you to think in your mind of something good that's happened to you. Something that you've experienced in the last week or so, last month, last year. It doesn't matter. Something good that has happened to you. For me, I've already shared that with you tonight. I found an amazing barbecue place right down 50 feet from here. So that's my good. I want you to think of that thing, and I want you to turn to the person next to you and tell them what good thing you're thinking about. Then turn to the person behind you and the other side of you. I'll wait for you. Go ahead. You have a minute. Go. All right, let me ask you a question. Now that you've done that, maybe you're still in the middle and you need to finish afterwards. That's okay. That's good. How hard was that to do? How hard was that? What did you think hearing what good things had happened to other people in here? How uplifting is that to hear? You know, we could go on. I could let you continue and you'd go for a while, I'm sure. But think about what you've just done. You've shared good news with somebody next to you instantly, easily, right? I want you to put yourself in the place of the one who shares and the one who hears. Think about this. When we share, isn't that easy to do when we have to share good news? Oh, we can do it a number of ways. You can get on social media. You can do it that way. You can call somebody, text somebody. Well, man, there's so many ways that you could do that, to share good news. In fact, it's far more easier for us, naturally, to share good news than bad news. If I had repeated this and said, I want you to think of something horrible that you've done or happened to you, and I want you to share that with someone. Well, maybe a little quieter in here. Because we don't like doing that. We don't enjoy bad news. And maybe we don't even want to participate in sharing bad news. But good news, it is enjoyable to share. It's enjoyable to be a part of spreading. But here's the good news. God has designed what He's asked you to do and what He's asked you to share as good news. He's not asking you to go and share bad news with anyone. He says, I've got good news. And I want you to go share that with someone else. What He's asked you to do is actually very enjoyable. Just like you've just participated about your own good news. Secondly, it's not hard to do. You just did it over and over again. You talk to the person next to you, behind you, beside you. And if I asked you to get up and do that and make sure everyone in here knew your good news, we could do that. It's not hard to do. And now everyone around you that you're sitting with tonight knows what good things have happened to you. Think about that. But I also want you to put yourself in the place of the one who listens. Did you not appreciate hearing good news? We forget that part. We're so focused on the fact that we have to share it. We forget about being the ones who receive it. We love being a part of hearing good things. That does something to us, doesn't it? Who wants to listen to bad news? If you're given a choice, good news and bad news, and someone says, I've got good news, I've got bad news, which one do you want first? Well, of course, we want to hear the good news first. Because we don't like hearing the bad news. The third thing is, when the message we are sent to deliver to others involves telling them that God has done something good for them, it becomes something we want to hear even more so. People who are listening want to hear it. And we have to remember that. We might be scared to say it, but they are wanting to hear it because we love to hear good news. Why is it so easy to share good things about yourself here? But maybe it's harder to share something good that has nothing to do with you with other people. God has placed you here as a messenger, as an ambassador of good news. Maybe you say, Jeremy, as we always have this conversation, I just don't know enough to tell someone else. Well, then maybe you skip goal number three, where it says, know the word, and you'll know God. But I think we can all say that sin brings death and God brings life. And I want to tell you more about a God who brings life. Maybe you need a real example of someone like you, someone who prayed that they were had the ability to open their mouth as they should. You know, let's spend a minute. I want to look at Paul, and I want you to see when we opened and we talked about Paul, how did Paul do this with other people? How did Paul minister to those around him? How did Paul bring other people to Christ? What was Paul doing? If Paul, and I asked this question, and maybe here's his answer, Paul heard this lesson, what things would he leave here and go and do? If you have your Bible, turn over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Starting in verse 4, he says, for we know, brothers, loved by God, that he has chosen you, because our gospel came to you, not only in word, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction. You know what kind of men we proved to be among you for your sake. And you became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you received the word in much affliction with the joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became an example to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. And not only has the word of the Lord sounded forth from you in Macedonia and Achaia, but your faith in God has gone forth everywhere, so that we need not say anything. For they themselves report concerning us the kind of reception we had among you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. Look at what Paul went and did. He didn't just deliver the word in words. It says he lived among them for their sake. This wasn't the first time Paul does that. He lived with them. So they don't just hear about God, but they see how God changes lives of people. And they look at the result that it had. Oh, they know the story of Paul. They know who Saul was. And now before them lived among them a man completely changed and different. How? And Paul says, I want you to see the gospel. I want you to see the transformative power that God has in the lives of people. And you just have to look at me. Doesn't mean Paul was perfect. It means that Paul knew he was an example and he was a fragrant offering drawing people to God. He was aware of that and he did that for their sake. And look what they did. If you go back through this few verses, it says they didn't just hear the word, they turned from idols to serve God. Then they become examples to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. Sharing our faith, sharing the gospel is one thing we need to do, but we do not forget to live our faith out in the lives of other people for their sake. Look what else he did. Go to chapter 2. Chapter 2, starting in verse 1. He says, "For you yourselves know, brothers, that our coming to you was not in vain. But though we had already suffered and had been shamefully treated at Philippi, as you know, we had boldness in God to declare to you the gospel of God in the midst of much conflict. For our appeal does not spring from error or impurity or any attempt to deceive, but just as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, so we speak, not to please man, but to please God who tests our hearts. For we never came with words of flattery, as you know, nor with a pretext for greed. God is a witness, nor did we seek glory from people, whether from you or from others, though we could have made demands as apostles of Christ, but we were gentle among you, like a nursing mother taking care of her own children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were ready to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our own selves, because you had become very dear to us." Paul didn't just share the gospel with them. He shared himself with them. He modeled what it meant to live by faith. He was patient with those who were still growing, and he was a support to those and a protection to those around him. You know, we've been entrusted with the gospel, and so we speak. And they did it with boldness. And this is exactly what we read in the beginning tonight that he had asked us to pray for. Pray that I will declare it boldly as I should. Here's what else he did. Keep reading. In verse 10 he says, "You are witnesses of God also how holy and righteous and blameless was our conduct towards you believers. For you know, like a father with his children, we exhorted each one of you and encouraged you and charged you to walk in a manner worthy of God, who calls you into his own kingdom and glory." Paul lived with them, he taught them, and he encouraged them. He charges them to walk in and with God so that they would enter the kingdom. You know, he reminds them of the way he lived among them for their sake. And he knows that God's kingdom is still open. Paul knows the doors of the kingdom are still open. And he wants everyone to enter it before it's closed. Are we not willing to do the same thing? So that all will enter the kingdom. You know, I said last time, this goal last time on goal number 3, to read the word so you know God, it was a strange goal to me. To have to write a lesson, you get 6 pages in, you think, this is strange that I'm convincing the people of God to read the word of God. And goal number 4 is just as strange to me, that I'm convincing those who receive Christ to share him with other people. You know, we're told as kids, sharing is caring. Have we stopped doing that? Did we stop living that as adults? And with the most important thing that we're entrusted to share. But if we were doing it, the church worldwide would be growing, not declining. So we have this goal, and we need this goal. And we need to get back to this driving passion again to share the gospel with everyone around us. You know, I can't imagine those in the first century, if you go and read the book of Acts, and they needed to be convinced to go out and to share the gospel. They needed a pep talk from Paul or Peter to say, guys, we really got to go spread the word. No, it doesn't say that at all. In fact, it says they went every day door to door. And the church grows from 120 to thousands and thousands. And they're described as men, like Paul is said of in the book of Acts, who talk about Jesus everywhere with everyone. And they're described as people like Peter, who's arrested, said, we can't stop talking about what we've seen and heard. We can't. You know, and I wonder what would happen if we start asking the question to those who start coming out of the water, Who is someone you would like to help lead to Jesus? Because that is exactly what he's called us to be. Disciples. And then what if we asked this question and we literally took prayerful steps forward to reaching them? What a different world we may be living in. Now, Philip Jenkins says, saved people save people. Does that describe you? And I want to ask you this question, very serious question. Who are you actively involved in leading to Christ right now? Who are you actively involved in leading to Christ right now? You know, every time we bring up this topic and we have a lesson on this type of thing, I think we have to address and we overcome excuses. Things like, I don't know enough, or I'm shy, or maybe our friends are going to think we're strange, or I don't know where to start. Or, you know, now it's really not popular to talk about God. And we can't do that at school. It's one of the three things you can't talk about at work. Shouldn't do that. Maybe just say, I'm not able to do it. But this is not about what you and I can do. None of these things, none of these goals that we have talked about is about what you can do. It's about what God is able to do through you. Look what he says in Ephesians chapter 3. He says, now to him who's able to do far more than we abundantly ask or think, according to the power at work within us. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. It's not about what you can do. It's about what can God do through you. We just recently changed our, came up with a logo in our youth room and painted a mural. That's hard to see from there, but I ask you to feel free to go back there and take a look at it closer. But out of this verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, says we have this treasure hidden in jars of clay to show that this surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. And out of that verse, we have this jar. It stands for Johnson, Arkansas, and it also represents that verse. And there's a line in front of it that says, imperfect vessels showing perfect power. And I asked them to create, we wanted something on the wall to remind us and explain this verse. And I know it's hard to see, but I want you to think about it as we go through. You see Jesus beginning to teach on the Sermon on the Mount. And he is white and the people are in black. And then you see the woman at the well and Jesus is sitting with her. And he is white and she is black. And you see a man in front of a cross in the tomb. And he begins to see the transformative power that God has. And he's not all black. He's beginning to change. And then it's smaller and in between there, but there's the act of baptism. And he is washing away the old self. And now he is pure. And because he is, now he is showing the perfect power of God to the world. We are imperfect vessels showing perfect power. And while we are certainly imperfect, I don't want you to be confused because this is not saying that you are the treasure. Paul makes it very clear if you go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and I ask you to do that because we're going to read verse 8 here in a second. He says in this chapter, he says, you're not the treasure. You may be the vessel, but you're not the treasure. Paul makes it clear, beginning this chapter, the treasure is the gospel. It's the word of God. It's not us. But we have it. We are entrusted with it. And it holds extraordinary power. Keep reading, though. Look what he says in verse 8. He says, we're afflicted in every way, but we're not crushed. We're perplexed, but we're not driven to despair. We're persecuted, but we're not forsaken. Oh, we're struck down, but we're not destroyed. We're always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so the life of Jesus may be manifested in our bodies. For we who live are always be given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you. And since we have the same spirit of faith according to what has been written, I believe, and so I spoke, we also believe, and so we also speak, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and bring us with you into his presence. For it is all for your sake, so that grace extends to more and more people, and it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. Paul says, look at us. We are a mess. We're falling apart. But it is because we're such a mess that God's message is so much more powerful. Because it is coming through us. God took our weakness to show his perfect power. It is this power the world needs to see. And I'm praying that God will help us all declare it boldly, as we should. I don't know where you are tonight. Maybe you've yet to respond to that. And as you just hear and you look at what he says about what Jesus did for you, maybe that's something you need to decide tonight that you want to follow. Maybe you've yet to put him on in baptism, and you need to do that tonight. Maybe you've decided to do that, and you've said, I haven't told anyone, and I need prayers to do that. I need training to do that. I need you, as Paul said, to pray for me that I may declare it boldly, as I should. Whatever your need is tonight, we're going to sing a song. If you need to respond, we offer that invitation. Let's stand.